I greet you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a great joy for me to be with you this morning. And it was a wonderful celebration yesterday. Our bishop's daughter got married, and all the staff and family and friends got together. And it's a joy to have my colleague David and my Bishop Emeritus Paul, our fellow pastors, Don and Scott, and it's a great joy to be invited to preach here at St. John. The gospel text today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's one of the most common and very famous gospels where Jesus said one of his I ams, where he said, I am the bread of life, and the text continues. And in mission, we always teach how people can grow their church and how they can make their church bigger and stronger and more faithful and stronger in every aspect. But the Gospel of John chapter 6 teaches us how to grow your church smaller. By telling the truth, Jesus went from a huge popular movement into only 12 people just with one teaching and with one sermon. And you shrink your friends and the number of your followers by telling the truth. And we all came from another denomination in another part, and a lot of people are scared of telling the truth because that is going to risk losing members and losing followers, popularity in the culture. And that's the problem that we see. But Jesus was not shying away from telling the truth. And as you know, the Gospel of John chapter 6 is a very busy chapter. And the whole gospel until you get to chapter 6 was very busy. And chapter 1 tells us about the Word and the Logos and incarnation. And you go to chapter 2, Jesus changing water into wine in Cana of Galilee in the northern part of Israel, just outside of Nazareth. And then in the Gospel of John chapter 3, you get this extremely important introduction of Jesus to the world by John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then you go to John chapter 4 where Jesus is doing an amazing conversation with a woman in Samaria, the Samaritan woman, and where the whole Samaritan region was shaken by that conversation and by that transformation of life, that they begged Jesus to stay even two more days. Jesus planning to cross through Samaria, end up staying there for 3 days. And then you get to Judea, where Jesus heals a paralyzed man who was on bed for 38 years. In every chapter, you see the popularity and the fame of Jesus increasing, and he's becoming all over the regions, in the north, in Galilee, in the center, in Samaria, in the south, in Judea, all over the nation. Jesus is becoming an icon of the culture, very famous. And he comes to the other side of the river. And that indicates the other side of Jesus. Life is not only being relevant to the culture. Life is not just being part of the culture, conforming to the culture. Life is also about being counter-cultural. And Jesus waits across the river, and they come in large number. And you see what the culture looks like just by looking at the people. It's very similar to the culture in which we live. First, you can tell that was a very consumer culture. Because Jesus specifically tells them, you are following me because you've been filled with bread. You are consumers. You like the product, not the producer. You like the gift, not the giver. You like what I am offering, and you are here just as a consumer culture. Give me, fill me, feed me, serve me. I am the center of the world. Human being is never satisfied. When human being is at the center of a culture, that is a dangerous time to live in. I think that is where we're living today, a consumer culture. Second, it's a very competing culture. They will do whatever they want to do and whatever they can do to get what they want to do. So they crossed over the river. They're looking for Jesus. No matter if he takes a break or he withdraws to the next region, they are competing. It's a competing culture. I am better and I want to be better. I want to be larger, bigger, more. It's also a comfort-seeking culture. They don't like to step out of their comfort zone. Ministry, mission, life is meaningful not when we receive, but when we give. Not what we have, but who we are. And Jesus is challenging them to give of who they are. And they don't like that because it's a very comfort-seeking culture. Number four, it's also a complaining culture. They like to complain. They were grumbling because of what he said and because of who he is. They were a complaining culture. And you can also see in the Gospel of, in the book of Joshua, that was just read to our hearing. They were complaining and complaining to no end. And it's just whenever they are unhappy, they grumble, they complain. They are selective believers. They don't believe in the whole package of who God is. They like the crown. They don't like the cross. They like the throne. They don't like the pain. So that is a kind of a selective believer mentality. Followers for a wrong reason. And the fifth, they are also a confrontational culture. When they don't like you, they fight with you. And it's a confrontational culture. And because of what he said, now they want to kill him. 2 days ago, they were worshiping him. 1 day ago, they were crossing rivers to find him. And now when he tells them the truth, they want to kill him. Very confrontational culture. Now, in the middle of this culture, we see Jesus at the very center of this culture. In this season, if you go to Galilee, it's about Jesus. Samaria, it's about Jesus. Judea, it's about Jesus. And in the center of this consumer, comfort-seeking, complaining, confrontational culture, Jesus stands in the middle and he says, I am bread of life. I am it. I am the one. I'm the solution for every human problem, physical and spiritual. Temporal and eternal, heavenly and earthly. For every human condition, Jesus says, I am the solution. If you go to university, they feed your mind. If you go to a hospital, they treat your body. If you go to a restaurant, they feed your stomach. But if you come to me, I will feed your life. Life. I will feed who you are. Your very existence depends on me. I am the one. That statement is a big dividing line in the world today. Do we believe or not? And Jesus says, I am a bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. That is a very definitive statement. It's not maybe. It's not might be. It's not would be. It's not probably or possibly. It says, anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. That is extremely definitive, affirmative, and there is absolutely no room for doubt in that statement. That is who Jesus is. We are the community of Jesus. There is no room in our faith for doubt. There is no room for some kind of probability or some kind of possibility. Jesus is the only option that feeds human life. And that is the answer for human life. And in this place, Jesus gives us two ways of coming to him. One, just in that text, in the Gospel of John chapter 6, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Coming to him. That is a relationship statement. Establishing a relationship with Jesus. Knowing him. Being known by him. Coming to him. And receiving him when he comes. And establishing a living relationship. And having Jesus as a good partner for us. He's everywhere. He's a friend of everyone. Rich or poor, white or black. He is everywhere, in every corner of the world. Today, we are here in Grove City, but Jesus is being worshipped around the globe. This Bible is being read around the globe in more than 4,000 languages today. Jesus speaks over 4,000 languages to the world today. Jesus is worshipped from sunrise to sunset, every corner. Some worship him in a beautiful place like this. The others worship him under a tree. I have seen people worshiping him in prison, in refugee camps, under a tree, in all kinds of conditions and situations. Jesus is worshipped, a relationship with the human race. And the second, this is what he says. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. When we do those things, having a relationship with Jesus and having faith in Jesus, now we will never go hungry and we will never go thirsty. When we are in that state of life, then we can turn around and serve others because our need is fulfilled. We are satisfied never to go hungry again. We are satisfied never to be thirsty again. Now we can give. And now we can serve. Now we can bless. Now we can embrace. Now we can welcome. Now we can shake hands. We become an extension of Jesus' ministry only when we are satisfied ourselves. Unsatisfied churches will always think about more agendas to satisfy themselves. How can we make ourselves more comfortable? How can we make ourselves more powerful? How can we make ourselves more enjoyable? How can we enjoy more, gain more, get more? Churches who are satisfied with Jesus Christ and his word are positioned and poised to turn around and make a difference in the world. Just one example. Today, more missionaries are not coming from the West. More missionaries are coming from the East, from China and from South Korea. South Korea has become now one of the largest missionary sending nations in the world. It's not because all their needs are met. In Beijing or in Shanghai, for example, in Shanghai, you visit Shanghai and a church like this is packed over 8 times a day, 8 services. And 3 floors, and all of it packed. And the pastor always stands up to beg people, please don't come early, because this place gets packed and people have to go in and out very easily. China is becoming the largest Christian nation on earth. In the next 15 years, there will be 250 million Christians in China alone. It's not because all their needs are met. It's because Jesus has become the center of their life. Their hunger is satisfied. Their thirst is quenched. And now all they're thinking about is giving their life for him, dying for him, serving him, and giving him their life. The same is true in Korea. And the passion for missionary zeal in the West is going down because we have opened up that window in our heart that never gets satisfied. More, more, more. Jesus was not scared of losing members by telling them the truth. In the middle of a consumer culture, a complaining culture, comfort-seeking culture, in a confrontational culture, Jesus stands even today wherever human square is found, and he's saying, I am the center of the world, and I am the bread of life. Life without me is dead. It may look like it's alive, but life without Jesus is dead. There is no way around it. There are a lot of people who say there are many ways to life. There are many ways to God. Absolutely none. Life begins and life is sustained in Christ Jesus alone. Rejoice that you are worshipers of Christ Jesus. Not just rejoice, turn around and tell somebody that there is a bread of life whose name is Jesus. If anyone eats and drinks from him, they will never go hungry and they will never go thirsty. They will walk around satisfied and content and ready to serve and make a difference in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.